Joshua 6 this week. We're continuing our series on the book of Joshua. And this week we've got the walls of Jericho. And I have to admit, when I found out I was doing this one, I was quite excited. Because I really believe this morning, we can see walls come down here, can't we? Do you believe that? You know, today can be a turning point in your life if you let it. And today I really believe we're going to see some walls in people's lives come tumbling down. Okay, Joshua 6. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 21. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all of the people shall shout out with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And people shall go up, everyone straight before him." So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant. Let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." Then he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass before the ark of the Lord." And just as Joshua had commanded, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the ark of the covenant and the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard or make any other noise with your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once, and they came into camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose in the morning, and the priests took the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. On the 2nd day, they marched around the city once, and returned to camp. So they did for 6 days. On the 7th day, they rose early, at the dawn of the day, and they marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city, all that was in it, shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who were with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep from yourselves the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you should take any of the devoted things and make a camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go to the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. And as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man before him, and they captured the city, and they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. It's a long passage. But there's something in this, I think, that we can really grasp a hold of today. You know, when you're moving forward in God, when you're trying to achieve something for God, or you're searching for a dream that God has given you, this will happen. You'll hit a wall. Something will block you. Something will stop you getting to the place that God has told you to get to, or that place where you believe God wants you to be. And one reason this story about Jericho has lived on in our minds with such vibrancy is we can all relate to hitting a wall, can't we? We all know that feeling of finding something that we just feel like we can't break through. You know, I don't know of anyone who's ever done anything for God that's never come across an obstacle that appears to have no way around it. Now, the first verse of this I find very interesting. It says, Jericho was all shut up. Nobody came in or out because of the Israelites. Do you know what that tells me? Jericho was afraid. There was a lot of concern in the city because of the Israelites being out there. You see, this is the thing about walls. They're not an offensive weapon. Walls are built to defend from you, not to attack you. You see, that wall that's in your life today, that thing that's blocking you from moving on to the place that God wants you to be, it's not attacking you. It's blocking you. You have everything it takes to get where you need to be, to achieve what God has laid out before you. You have the Spirit of the living God living inside you this morning. It's just you find this wall in the way. You see, apart from the wall, there was no real obstacle to this battle. Israel could easily have overcome the people of Jericho. No problem. You see, that's why the city was shut up, because the people of Jericho were afraid. In Jericho, incidentally, the wall that was built around Jericho, it was ancient. It was such an old wall, it is thought that this might actually have been one of the first city walls ever built. So when Israel arrived, this wall had been here a long time. You know, sometimes when something's been stopping you moving on in God for a long time, you start to wonder, can it ever move? Is this always going to be a part of my life? Is this always going to be blocking me? But we learn from this, God can make that wall fall in an instant. That wall that's been holding you back for years can fall this morning. The city that the wall surrounded contained around about 2,000 to 3,000 people. Which is not a lot if you think about it. You know, when you think of a city today, we don't think of that as being a big number. But back then, that was not insignificant. Bear in mind that Jericho was a strategic city. Alan shared this a few weeks ago. It doesn't mean that it was a big city. It just means that it was a strategic one. A common misconception about Jericho is that it was the biggest city they had to conquer, which is why they needed God's help. It wasn't. It was the most well defended. You know, one thing, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, that really strikes me, is when you visit the old city of Jerusalem, it's not that big, is it? It's not massive. It's not what I think of today as a city. In fact, in today's size, it's more of a village. So I think a couple of thousand here, 3,000, doesn't mean Jericho was necessarily small back then. It was a thriving city. Jerusalem was a thriving city and not huge. Jericho wasn't massive. But you compare that to the Israelites, and we're not talking about a city here. We're talking about a wandering nation. Now, we don't know exactly how many Israelites left Egypt. But in the book of Numbers, we do get a figure of how many adult males that there are at that point. And that is 601,730. And you find that in Numbers 26:51. 601,730. So let's just say 500,000 are able to fight. Because even the 80-year-old Caleb was up for it. And of course, this number we get in the book of Numbers is the men. So double that number to include women, and you're looking at well over 1 million people wandering the wilderness. Just imagine waking up one day in the city of Jericho and seeing 1 million people camped outside. Must have been quite an experience to see it. Now, we're fighting men, and remember, not everybody in the city in that 3,000 would have been fighting, but even if you counted as they were, then we're talking about odds of 166-1 in Israel's favor. That is good odds if you're going to go to war, isn't it? Now, those numbers are perhaps a little bit debatable. Chapter 4 of Joshua talks about 40,000 men crossing the Jordan. And some people think that 1 million people living in the wilderness is unrealistic. But bear in mind, probably around about 3 million left Egypt. Israel was not a city, it was a wandering nation. But even if you take 40,000, we're talking about odds of 13-1. So it's still good odds. You know, this year I was at an event called the Mighty Men Conference in South Africa, which was hosted by a guy called Angus Buchan. And there was around about 500,000 men in a field for those meetings. And I got to say, to see that many people in one place, it's massive. You can't get your head around how many of them are there. And they were all on a campsite. Just like one big nomadic city. And it reminded me of what Israel must have been. You can get a city that big, or you can get a wandering nation that big, all in one place, and they survive okay with a few barbecues. That looks a little bit like this. I've got a picture of how many, 500,000 men look like. And I've got to say, just to be there and experience that is something that I will never forget. When 500,000 men say, Amen, you can feel the ground shaking. Imagine the noises Israel must have made when they shouted on that last day. It must have been terrifying. By the way, population of South Africa is not much more than the population of the UK. Imagine if we could grab that many men, in one place. It would change this nation. And it's doable, it's possible, because it's happened there. Anyway, Israel did not need a miracle to defeat this city. They had the resources and they had the manpower to do it. There was just one big problem, and that problem was the wall. You know, it's interesting that if it wasn't for what God did with the wall of Jericho, we might not remember this story quite so well. Jericho would just be another one of those battles that happened in the, you know, later in Joshua, none of which that I can think of off the top of my head. Of all the cities that were taken, this one lingers in our minds. Why? Because the victory in this one had to be down to God. God got the glory because the wall came down. And you see, that's what happens when God brings down walls. He gets the glory. This victory had to be won in a way that only God could achieve. Otherwise, the army would have taken the glory for themselves. After all, they were bigger. The odds were in their favor. You know, we see this happen later in the Bible with Gideon's army. God deliberately makes the army smaller so God gets the glory. When you're moving on in God, it's important to remember who it is that's moving you on. This is not something we do in our own strength. So why was this wall of Jericho such a big deal? Well, armies have defeated walled cities before. It's not unheard of. Jericho as a city is actually quite close to Jerusalem, and it's also quite close to the Dead Sea. I don't know who's ever been there, but it's amazing to visit Israel and see how close everything actually is together. It's not a big country at all. And Jericho is built in a valley, but the city itself is upon a hill. And this is where the old city was. You can see that hill in the middle there? That's the site of the old city, that sort of big sandy bit. And the upper city took up the space of around about 6 acres. If the walled area was included, then you're looking at probably around about 9 acres in total. So if you draw a circumference around that, its circumference is around about 0.5 miles. See, as a kid, I used to wonder, how is it possible to walk around a city 7 times in one day? You couldn't walk around London 7 times in one day. Just go shopping in London and you're done in. But really, if you give this wall a wide berth, say of 0.5 miles so they can't shoot you with arrows, you're not talking about much more than a 7-mile walk on that last day. And that's entirely doable. See, from the archaeological evidence, we know that the wall had a tower in it. The tower was around about 10 meters high. And the wall itself was 1.5 meters thick and 5.2 meters high. Now, when it comes to archaeology with this, you will get a lot of conflicting evidence. Some of the evidence will support the Exodus, some of it will not. But bear in mind, Jericho is currently under Palestinian control. All archaeology that currently takes place in there is Palestinian funded. And there is an agenda with people of Palestine to get the Jews out of the story of that land altogether. So don't be surprised if current archaeological evidence points in a different direction. You know, Pastor mentioned a few weeks ago how big Israel originally was, bigger than it is today. But you will get a lot of scholars now telling you that David's kingdom was practically just a tiny tribe of no significance at all. You know, Jesus is even referred to in some circles, especially in Palestine, as not Jewish, but Palestinian. There's some places you cannot call Jesus a Jew, because the idea is to get the Jews out of the story of the land altogether. So there's an agenda, and be aware of that whenever you come across people telling you that the Jews and the story doesn't back up. It seems from the archaeology as well that not the entire wall collapsed. The north side of the wall was left remaining. Now why is that? Well, it's interesting, we know that God said Rahab and her household would be spared. And as Alan shared a few weeks ago, Rahab was actually in the lineage of Jesus and David. So we know that the spies escaped from her house and escaped the city by going through her house, so her house must have been located on the wall. Her house was spared, therefore so must be the north wall. And the archaeological evidence supports that the north wall didn't fall down. You know, sometimes you expect God to remove a wall completely before you can move on. We expect all traces of resistance in our life to be moved, but in reality, we move when there's an opening. Because sometimes that whole wall won't come down, but enough of it will move so you can get through. It's also interesting that Wesley notes in a commentary on this that if the whole wall had fallen down, the people of Jericho would have escaped. But because the wall didn't fall down, they were trapped and wiped out. Something else that's interesting about the wall that you might not be aware of is it isn't actually just one wall. There were two walls. There was a lower wall and an upper wall. I think we've got a slide of that. So we've got a bottom wall and we've got a top wall. Now we know the city was built on a hill because when the Bible says they attacked, it says they went up into the city. One wall was at the bottom of the hill, one wall was at the top. If you were attacking the city, what that meant was, if you made the effort to breach that first wall, once you're through, you're still not there. In fact, if you get through that first wall, you're trapped. Because you can't progress any further, and you're stuck because you haven't got much room to get back. See, that next wall at the top is even harder to breach than the first one. See, even when walls in our lives come down, it doesn't mean there's not still a hill to climb. It didn't mean that the battle was going to be easy. It was literally, for the Israelites, an uphill fight. When walls come down in your life, that's the time where you have to fight through. There still will be difficulties. There still will be struggle. But you can fight on through because the wall is gone. In the second verse of this, God shows Joshua the city and he says to him, "See, I have given the city into your hands." See, at this point the wall was still standing. But in God's eyes, the battle was already won. It was already sorted. You might not be able to see past the wall. You might not be able to see over the wall, but God can. God can see what's for you at the other side of that wall. And there's two questions I really want to focus on today. The first is, what are the walls in your life this morning? What walls are you dealing with personally? And the second, what is it we can do to make those walls come down? See, Israel had a city to conquer, but it had two walls surrounding it. It would have seemed impossible for them to overcome it. And part of life and part of moving on with God is encountering situations that seem impossible, that seem like you're never going to get through them. But we've got to look at these things not as dead ends, but as opportunities. Opportunities for God to do something amazing in our lives. These are the times that give us a chance to look for the miraculous. These are the times where we find ourselves really relying on God. So the question is what walls are in your life this morning? Israel had two of them. So I'm going to break down some walls into two types that can stop you moving on from where God has told you to be. Here's some of them, but by no means consider this an exhaustive list. There will be more. First, walls of your own making. First one is obvious. Sin. Sometimes you have something that just keeps cropping up in your life. And that thing will always hold you back. Sin is one of the strongest walls you can contend with. Because it is a wall that sometimes you don't even want to see fall down. Because you're comfortable with it. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Sin will hinder you. Sin will entangle you. Sin will stop you moving on with God. And if sin is something you're struggling with, you need to ask God to break that wall down or you're going to keep struggling with it. It's a wall that you can begin to get used to. Get comfortable that it's there. Second wall, lack of a plan. You can't take a city by accident. It doesn't happen. You need to be planning to get somewhere. Israel had been wanting Jericho since the book of Numbers. Israel had a plan. They wanted to take this city because this city was the doorway to the new land. Bible tells us without vision, the people perish. If you've got no vision, you're not going to go anywhere. Third wall, laziness and lethargy. This is a wall you can build yourself. And it's a tough one to break down. Because breaking down walls requires motivation. Proverbs 15:19 says, the way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the uprighteous is a highway. It's amazing how often we can spend our lives wandering around in a haze, numbing ourselves to the will of God and not doing a thing. Let me tell you, if you're not making any progress in your life, perhaps the reason you're not making any progress is you're not doing anything. Now, I'll be honest, I struggle with this one sometimes. Sometimes I can spend days where I get to the end of the day and think, what did I do? What did I actually do today? Next wall, financial problems. Now, this one is in both categories because sometimes financial problems are not of your own making. But sometimes they are. You know, there's a lot of factors that can build this wall. Losing a job, not your fault. Struggling to keep your family, but also not letting your money or working with your money properly can build this wall up around you. You know, Proverbs 13:22 says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Now, that's been a very often misquoted verse to say that the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. There's going to be an end time wealth transfer. Church is going to be rich because we're righteous and sinners' money is coming this way. That's not what that verse means. That verse means if you're stupid with your money, you won't have any. If you're stupid with your money, you won't have anything to pass on. It's very easy for finance to make us ineffective as Christians. Once we mess our finances up, we can stop giving to church. We stop spending time with our families because we're working so hard to make up for the money we've already spent. Sometimes we can't find release in God because we let money get in the way. Next wall. Feeling inadequate or other confidence issues. I know a lot of Christians who struggle with this. You see, we can build some of these things into such a massive wall in our lives that they can crush us and stop us daring to do anything. We can find ourselves not daring to even think about taking the city because we don't believe that we have what it takes. We forget that God is on our side and what God's opinion is of us. There are also walls of not of our making. First one can be financial problems. Second one, sickness, physical problems. This one can be so hard. It can be such a wall. It can be so hard to deal with and hold us back in so many different ways. But I believe that this wall can be broken down. God wants this wall broken down in your life. If we believe in a God who heals, then we believe God heals. We've got to have more faith in this. I really believe. I heard this fantastic statement from a guy called Bill Johnson. Has anyone ever heard of Bill Johnson? Worth getting some of his material. Very good. And he said, do you want to see more sick people healed? Then pray for more sick people. He said, if you're only seeing people healed in their ones and twos, and you're only praying for 10 people, then pray for 100 people. Step up that level of faith to see more people saved, pray for more people. The two go hand in hand. Next wall, family problems. It can be a massive, massive wall in somebody's life. And it can take up a lot of time and a lot of energy. Next one, loss of a loved one. It's hard. This can set you back years sometimes. Sometimes it feels like a wall that can never be pulled down. You know, God wants to change that. Next one. I'm sure some can relate to this. A loved one who's just not concerned about God at all. Can tear you up inside. Can hold you back so much, especially in a marriage. It's hard to have a duty to your spouse and to God if those two things don't fit together. This can be hard. And the next one, circumstance. Sometimes you can feel like you've got what it takes to do something for God, but circumstances keep getting in the way. Every time you move, you hit a wall. Sometimes this means you might have to reassess. Have you heard God right? But if you have heard God right, don't take these blocks as a reason to stop. Take them as an opportunity for God to work. And the last one, I think it's the last one. People. Ugh, people. People can get in the way. They can block you. They can be a bottleneck. And they can be a distraction. People can make you bitter. People can make you hurt. People can do a heck of a lot of damage. But we can get over that. God can defeat that bitterness. And there's others. There's lots of others. Don't take this as a big list. But hopefully this can help you relate to something. This can spark off something in your mind. Of something that is a wall in your life. The first thing that helps us bring down walls is identifying that it's there. Because then we know what we're asking God to move. You know, Kevin shared at the prayer meeting on Thursday, when you pray, be specific. To be specific about bringing down a wall, you've got to know what it is. You've got to know what you're asking God to move. See, sometimes we have all the resources we need, all the ability, all the enthusiasm, but there's a wall in that way. What is it that brought the walls down? Well, Hebrews 11:30 tells us, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed for 7 days. They were brought down by faith, not by force, Not by firepower, not by might, not by fighting, but by faith in God. But the faith part is not the whole verse. They were brought down by faith after they were encompassed for 7 days. By faith, after something was done. You see, it's not just faith alone that brings down a wall. It is faith accompanied by action. James 2:20, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Faith without action is useless. Now this leads to a question, of course. What action? What action is it that brings down walls? Well, let me tell you, there is no magic formula of going round the walls a certain amount of times, or something in the trumpets, or something in carrying the Ark of the Covenant, or not speaking and shouting altogether, or none of that. Sometimes we can just pick a formula concerning something. We can say, oh, they went round with the Ark 7 times, therefore I've got to do this 7 times whilst having God before my eyes. Or we should all stand and shout at the end of the meeting, and that's what will bring the wall down. Now, I'm not saying any of these things are without significance, but it's not a formula to learn. It's an exercise in obedience. They did this, why? Because God told them to. God gave them the instructions, and they did it. The instructions God gave them actually didn't make much sense. How is walking around a wall a couple of times a day gonna bring it down? It makes no sense. But this is what God asked them to do. So rather than do anything like trying to find a formula, it's more a question of finding what does God want you to do. Rather than look in some sort of formula for bringing down walls, we learn that it's about obedience. And there's 6 important points that I just want to touch on about bringing down walls. 6 points, and then we're going to pray. First of all, God saw the walls as already down. God sees through the obstacle that you've got in your life. Why? Because to God there is no obstacle. His perspective of your problems are bigger than your perspective could ever be. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. God knows the beginning from the end of everything, including whatever situation is in your life today. You don't. His perspective is bigger than yours. So let's trust the way he sees the wall rather than the way we see it. Second, in order to know what's required to bring down the wall, you need to hear from him. How? You've got to be listening to God rather than focusing on your problem. If you're paying attention to the wall, you will miss the voice of God. Put your attention on him instead of your problem. Because the more you worry about the problem, the bigger the problem will get in your mind. Where did Joshua get these instructions about going around the wall from? He got them from God. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of God. It's not about finding a formula. It comes from knowing where your relationship with God stands. Is God in front of your wall, or is he behind it? Before you tackle the wall, sort out your relationship with God. Then when he tells you what to do, you'll be listening. Joshua did all of these things because he heard from God. He knew what to do. And when you hear from God, you operate out of confidence. You operate out of surety. What I find fascinating about this is Israel were obedient because they knew God had spoken. This is one of the few times in the whole story of Israel where we don't get anything about them grumbling or questioning. You don't get anything saying, oh, why have we got to walk around the wall 7 days in a row? That can't be right. We never hear about the morning on the third day going, this is the third day walking around the wall and I haven't seen one single stone fall. Not one. No complaining about the lack of results. Why? Let me tell you, if they had done, I'm pretty sure it would be in there. Because the Bible never shies away from pointing out when Israel do stuff like this. They knew Joshua had heard from God. See, that's what happens. When you hear from God, you move in confidence. You know what to do. You know it's right. You're not trying to apply a formula that's worked for somebody else or some other church. You're not trying to repeat what God did for somebody else. You were doing what God tells you to do. Instead of looking at the problem, or instead of looking at how other people have overcome the same problem, look to the Word of God. Get into your Bible. Get into prayer. Get into relationship with God. Instead of reading another biography of somebody who's overcome something, get into the Word of God and find out how to overcome your issue. You can far easily just try and find methods in other people's solutions, and it's not there. We can waste our time reading a lot of other... By the way, reading biographies isn't a bad thing. But if you're trying to find a solution to your problem in there, you're looking in the wrong place. If you speak to God instead and you get in the Word of God, you will probably get very different answers. Third point. Walls don't always fall down straight away. This was not the first day that they had arrived at Jericho. Jericho had been on the agenda at least since chapter 2. In fact, Jericho is something that goes back to the book of Numbers. Even this process of bringing down the walls took 7 days. Jericho was shut up because Israel had been outside waiting. Joshua did not just arrive one day, and the first day that they were outside Jericho say, now's the day to march. No, he waited until God said move. Even though there was nothing to suggest that the walls would come down until that final shout, there was no grumbling, there was nothing. They marched round that wall with no visible sign of it falling down. Isaiah 49:8, it says, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable and favorable time, I have heard and answered you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. God's time is not our time. Sometimes walls take time to fall down. But whatever the reason that that wall is taking time to fall down, it's important, just as the Israelites were, to be obedient to God, even if we don't understand our orders. Fourth point. It's pretty obvious. When he tells you what to do, after you've heard from him, do it. See, walls don't fall without action. The walking around the walls in itself did not cause the walls to fall. The shout from the Israelites did not cause the walls to fall. God caused the walls to fall. He told them what to do, and when they did it, he acted. The walls of Jericho would not have fallen down if Israel had not done what he said. If they'd not walked around the walls with the ram's horns and the ark, if they'd ignored it and on the seventh day just waited for those walls to fall down, it wouldn't have happened. Not because there's any secret key in the actions that they took, but because they obeyed. And in their obeying, what they did was totally put the victory in the hands of God. But it brings us back to that verse from Hebrews. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed for 7 days. The walls fell down by faith after Israel did what God told them to do. Fifth point. When it feels impossible, that's when miracles happen. That's when God moves. A hard situation takes a miracle. an impossible situation takes a fantastic miracle. We worship the God of the impossible. Let me tell you, when it's at its most difficult, that's when God gets the glory. Who would remember the Battle of Jericho if it wasn't for the wall? It's the wall that makes the story memorable. It's the difficulty that makes your testimony when it happens and it's broke down fantastic. It's the walls that make your testimony, isn't it? That's what really shows the glory of God. When God moves through hard times, we really begin to understand how wonderful and amazing He is. That is the stuff great testimonies are made of. And I pray for all of your walls today that they're going to turn into fantastic testimonies. Does God cause the wall? No. But He can work it for good. Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Walls show us how big God is. And sixth, the last point. This can be hard. This can be very hard to deal with. Not all walls come down. Now clearly we don't get that from today's passage because this wall comes down. But it's true, isn't it? Experience tells us this. Not all walls come down. Paul talks about a thorn in his flesh, something that didn't go despite prayer. Something that he just had to live with. And some struggles, some walls, hard as it is to say, we have to live with. Why? I've got no answer for that. Maybe, some things that we think are walls stopping us are in fact not walls at all. But they're barriers that God has put in place to protect us. Some. But since we don't know which walls they are, we have faith. We get close to God. We believe that those walls can come down. By faith, you can tear down walls. The conquest of Jericho is a great example of faith bringing something down. And just as these walls came down, when Joshua exercised his faith in God, the walls in your lives today can come down when you exercise faith and obedience. Joshua had his eyes fixed on the Lord. You know, so often we choose battlefields or battles of our choosing, but not God's. And we fail miserably because it's not God's fight. We've made it our fight. You see, to say the battle is the Lord's is only true when God leads you into that battle. If God hadn't told them to take Jericho, this wouldn't have succeeded. The struggles, the buffetings we experience in our life are ours alone until we surrender our lives to God. At that point, when we follow God, our battles become His battles, and His battles become our battles. See, if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't have a relationship with God, all of your battles and your wars and those things in your life, they're your battles today. But you enter into a relationship with Him and they become His battles. You know, it's easy to go through a lot of the Old Testament and pick out things that can apply to us like this. You know, the walls of Jericho came down, therefore they came down by faith, so we apply faith and, you know, we do what Joshua did. Thing about the Old Testament is it's not really about us. That story doesn't really exist to show us that you can defeat walls. It shows us to point towards the bigger Joshua. The one who was greater than Joshua. Any big character in the Old Testament are a symbol of the one who's coming who was greater. And that's our Lord Jesus. Jesus is the bigger, better Joshua. And what this story really tells us is that Jesus can break down any wall. The whole Old Testament is really about Jesus. And He has broken down the wall of sin. He has broken down the wall of death. And if you don't know Him this morning, let me tell you, the wall of sin and death that is around you can be broken this morning. Today, he can knock down that wall of sin and shame and bring you into a new life. See, the keys to the Battle of Jericho are listening, faith, and obedience. What kind of walled city are you facing in your life right now? I just want you to think. Does it appear to be unconquerable? Do the walls look too high and too thick? I want to remind you, today, those walls can come down. Just as before we pray, I just want to end with a note from the chapter. We didn't read the end of the chapter. And I really want just to come back to this at the end. Joshua 6:26. Joshua laid an oath on them at the time, saying, "Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds this city. At the cost of his firstborn shall he lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest son shall he set up his gates." Cursed before the Lord be the man who tries to rebuild those walls. There's a lesson in here for some of us. If God has knocked it down, don't build it back up. If God has taken away the wall of sin, don't return to it. If God has healed you, don't go seeking solace in that sickness again. If God has removed a person from your life, don't go pursuing them. And so on and so on. Why? Because this puts you back exactly where you were before God moved. That's putting the curse of repeating the pain on you. You know, just because you've achieved something, that's no reason to stay still. Because the temptation to rebuild what you've just knocked down will be strong. You think this time that wall will be under your control. This time you'll be able to keep it where it needs to be. But let me tell you, that wall probably won't be under your control. Don't rebuild. Move on. Because there's an entire promised land out there to take. I just ask some of the band just to come back up and play gently in the background. We're going to pray. Just as they're coming, I'm just going to sum up those 6 points again. First point, God sees that wall is already down. Second, to deal with that wall, you need to get close to God and hear from God. Focus on God, not the problem. Third point, walls don't come down right away. Fourth point, when he tells you what to do, after you've heard from God, do it. Walls don't fall without action. Fifth point, when it feels impossible, that's when miracles happen. And sixth, not all walls are going to come down. Let's just bow our heads for a moment.